Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Boston Globe transportation reporter Taylor Dolvin, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Darryl.
Always a pleasure. We love having you, Taylor. Let's get right into it, because you have two stories that we want to talk about for a little transit news roundup. And first off, I want to get into the MBTA Board of Directors, their vote last week in favor of offering a reduced fare for adults with low income across the system. Taylor, tell us more about what the board approved, who will be covered, and how many people could benefit from it.
So many, many people could benefit. If you are between 26 years old and 64 years old and your income is less than about $30,000, you will likely qualify for this program, which offers people in that category half price tickets and passes on any mode of transportation that the T offers. So as you mentioned, the rider advocates and public transit advocates have been really pushing for this for more than a decade. And it feels like the MBTA is closer than ever to actually making this a reality.
And this low-income program includes the ride, correct? The paratransit service from the MBTA?
Yes. So this low-income fare includes every single mode of transit at the MBTA, including the T's paratransit service, the ride, which provides door-to-door service for older folks, people with disabilities. And this was actually a huge win for advocates, because the T had originally planned to exclude a lot of ride trips from the low-income fare program. And the ride is actually pretty expensive to take compared to the fixed route system. So if you're origin or destination is more than 3/4 of a mile from a bus route or a train route, you pay $5.60 for a one-way trip on the ride. And the T had originally planned to exclude those trips from this program. And at the last minute at this board meeting, the Secretary of Transportation, Monica Tibbetts-Nutt, amended the language, and the board approved extending the low-income fare to include these trips.
Was there anybody at the meeting who would benefit from this program?
Yeah, so a lot of the advocates were people who would qualify for this program and were speaking from their lived experience of just how difficult it is to afford public transit. One was a single mom from, I think, Chelsea. She uses public transit to get her kids to school, to go to work several times a day. And so the fares can really add up for her. And she just said, you know, this would give her a chance to not have to choose between transportation and other essential needs. This program could save riders, depending on which mode you use, hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year.
Okay. Now, this idea for the T to do a low-income fare program is something that at times has gained some traction, but didn't quite make it this far. Can you talk about some of those past efforts real quick?
Yeah. So in 2021, the T Board of Directors took a similar vote and basically directed the agency to come up with a pilot program for a low-income fare that never got off the ground. And I think one of the biggest hangups here is funding. The MBTA, come this summer, is going to be in its operating budget more than $600 million short of what it needs to offer the service that we get today. And so Governor Maura Healey is proposing to fill most of that gap. And included in that proposal is $45 million of millionaires tax money to pay for this new low-income fare program. Mm-hmm. But it's important to note the legislature hasn't approved the governor's budget, hasn't passed its own budget yet. So this program doesn't have any funding yet. The T tells me that they are going to make it work no matter what, but we don't know what that looks like quite yet.
Money, money, money. It always comes back to money, especially with the T. I want to just step back for a moment because, you know, the money is a serious issue here, but I want to focus on the joy of this moment for the advocates who've been pushing for this thing. Now, you were there for this meeting. What was it like after the board's vote?
So I've been, I go to almost every MBTA board meeting. They happen once a month. And then there are also subcommittee meetings that happen once a month. So these advocates have been turning out at least once or twice a month to urge the board to pass this, to vote in favor of starting a low-income fare program for adults for as long as I've been covering the T. And they rarely get a win. I think that riders in general have felt, especially in recent years, like the agency isn't hearing their frustration and maybe isn't acting as urgently enough. And so this was sort of a rare, really joyous celebration right when the board voted in favor of forming this program. All of the advocates in the room stood up, cheered, you know, yelled, thank you, and really made it clear how much this meant to them.
Director Smart.
Yes.
Director Tibbetts-Nunn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is just a long time coming, and I think it's important to note that most other large transit agencies in this country already offer this. And so it's really kind of getting the T to catch up in that regard of making transit more accessible for people with low incomes.
Understood. Well, Taylor, we are going to take a break right here. But when we get back, I want to talk more about money and how the T is spending it on train cars. So we'll be right back.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Boston Globe transportation reporter Taylor Dolan. All right, I want to pivot to another story you covered last week. It's about a company called CRRC, a Chinese company, which is one of the largest rail car manufacturers in the world. In 2014, the company won a contract to build new red and orange line cars for the MBTA. Now, at the time, CRRC had never built a factory in the U.S. or assembled a rail car here. Still, they offered the best deal, got the contract, and opened up operations here in Massachusetts. Now, CRRC is years behind on delivering the cars they promised, and the MBTA is offering them a pretty penny to get back on track. So tell us, how much is the MBTA paying, and what are they hoping to get from CRRC?
So CRRC is building the new red and orange line cars that the T desperately needs. Some of the oldest red line cars that are still carrying passengers were built in the 1960s and were supposed to be retired long, long ago. And so the CRRC was supposed to have delivered 404 new red and orange line cars by last September. Instead, the MBTA only has 130 cars from CRRC. The deal, which includes agreements with CRRC that the MBTA inked in 2014 and 2017, totals about $871 million. And now what the T is saying is that they need to pay CRRC another $148 million to get these cars by the end of 2027. So we're talking about 4 years late and now $148 million over budget.
And that's over $1 billion now.
Yeah. So the cost to the T for all of these cars is now over $1 billion.
So just how behind is the production?
If the company can stick to this new deal, we're looking at not getting all of the new cars until the end of 2027.
If this company isn't holding up their end of the delivery, why is the T continuing to work with them, giving them more money?
So the T is in a really hard spot. These contracts take years and years and years to run their course. And the T actually explored scrapping this deal altogether with CRRC and creating a new bid, trying to order the cars from a different company, but ultimately decided that, that would take even longer. I think it's really important to note just how desperately the T needs these cars. The oldest redline cars carrying passengers today were built in the 1960s and break down really frequently. They've been involved in some really high-profile incidents, including a malfunction that caused a man's arm to get stuck in the doors at Broadway Station a few years ago, and he was ultimately dragged to death. So I think, you know, the stakes could not be higher. The T really, really needs these cars and has decided that giving CRRC more money, and that includes incentives for them to stick to a delivery schedule, they're really hopeful that that will result in getting all 404 new cars by the end of 2027.
Yeah. And how is all of this impacting riders?
The T is still struggling to deliver service that people are used to. I think it's important to remember that when the T bought these new cars, it hoped that the new fleet would allow the MBTA to offer just 3-minute wait times on the red line. If you're a red line rider, you know that that is nowhere close to how
you
long you're waiting.
You are cackling right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is really affecting wait times. This is affecting how often your train breaks down. These new cars are actually, after a lot of issues over the last few years, now the T says they're operating really, really well and actually are breaking down really infrequently, especially compared to the ancient cars still on the red line. So this is affecting the quality of your commute, how long it takes you to get to work and other places that you use the T for.
So what happens if CRRC doesn't meet this new deadline?
So under the contract, CRRC actually owes the T four delays. And this new deal allows the MBTA to waive those late fees as long as all of the cars are delivered by the end of 2027. If the T misses that deadline, as it's missed all of the deadlines so far, the T has the right to enforce those late fees, which currently total around $38 million.
Okay. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for your reporting on both of these stories and coming through to talk to us about it. Can't wait until the next time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That's Boston Globe transportation reporter Taylor Dolvin. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. Rate and review us. Let us know how you're liking the show. We would love to hear it or see it or read it, whatever. I'm Darryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow.